and Lee's been a speaker for over 20 years, and she's an author and an executive coach. And without a lot of extra detail here, I'm just going to ask Lee, tell us who you are and what your passion in life is.
Well, Perry, I am, as you said, I'm a professional speaker and executive coach. I do a lot of entrepreneurial type things. I do infomercials where I host TV shows, and I produce products, and I basically think of ways to make money using my talents and my abilities and my skills and my expertise. And so I'm always scanning the landscape of life, looking for ways to use my talents to make money. And I'm always asking myself, and this is a very important thing that everybody should do because we think in questions, is ask ourselves, how can I capitalize on this? What's going on right now that who I am and what I do and my experience will assist these people or this situation? So my main title is entrepreneur.
Yep.
And the reason I say that versus speaker or author is because I have my fingers in lots of different things. I invest in real estate, and I, you know, invest in things that allow me to have what I call a stress-free life. And to me, real wealth is not to have any bills. So I have created a life that I have no bills. I have paid off everything in my life. Mm-hmm. Now, I know a lot of financial planners say that's not the thing to do, but the truth is I sleep much better at night knowing that my house is paid for.
And financial planning is really about the informed person and well-planned person who sleeps well at night and will for the next many years, right?
That's correct. Nobody's going to take my house. I got my house. Yes,
right.
I like that.
Right. So that's what you're comfortable with. Well, what we discussed talking about today was the humongous role of giftedness and natural ability that it plays in being successful at anything, and how that gets blown over and ignored so often, and you know, and that came out in your introduction, you know, that you're an entrepreneur who's looking for matches between your talents and a need or opportunity or a new situation. So maybe tell a little bit of your story and how points along the way where you started to discover who Lee was wired to be. You know, we're not, I used to have the sociology professor who thought that all people are born the same and social things shape everything. And I completely don't buy that. I think people have natural innate biases towards certain things. And there's lots of psychological research to prove that, identical twins separated at birth and all this kind of stuff. But that's not like a psychological experiment thing. That is a real life success, happiness thing for everyone. So that's what I believe. So you tell me how you came to feel the same way, because I know we're...
Well, I'm a nonconformist from every sense of the word. I am originally a farmer's daughter from a little place in Virginia called Chuckatuck, which is where I grew up, was 2 miles from the nearest secondary road. And the great thing about that was growing up in isolation I developed my imagination. And the other thing is growing up away from a lot of social pressures, living on a farm, which are the original entrepreneurs, by the way, because you have to figure out what to do and how to do it all the time, I realized in high school when you would go to your guidance counselor's office, and there would be these pat 10 things that women were supposed to do. You could be a teacher, you could be a nurse, you could be a homemaker, with a few little things. And I suddenly didn't fit into any of those things, didn't want to do any of those things, and felt repulsed by all of those things. And I lived my entire 11th and 12th grade in high school in the guidance counselor's office, begging for, what am I supposed to be doing? Mm. And once you start realizing that you don't, as a round person, fit into the square peg, society sort of leaves you out. And I think a lot of people spend their life trying to please their parents, their expectations of their parents. Or, you know, if your father was a lawyer, you should be a lawyer. Or if your mother was a homemaker, you should be a homemaker. And what happens is people get so, they go down that path and then they expect to have fulfillment because they have met the expectations of others. And then one day they wake up and realize, I'm miserable. It's not working for me. If this is life, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. And they don't know what to do because they have spent so much time, money, and energy maybe educating themselves in something that they were not hardwired for.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I think we're hardwired for certain things. And I happen to be hardwired for more of a sales, people kind of career. Mm-hmm. The way that I see myself, if you ask me where my true talent is my talent is actually seeing the talent in other people and bringing their talent out. And so that's my true talent.
Lee Miltiel, you're the catalyst for
helping people bring out their own potential. And so, you know, after high school and then, you know, started going to college, and in the interim of before I started college, I actually was a rock and roll disc jockey. And one day this sales manager came up to me and he said, you know, we've never tried women in sales here in the radio business, but we'd certainly like to, you know, give it a shot. And they gave me like a half an hour's worth of stuff and sent me out into the world. And I made 2 sales the first day. Mm. And they were like flabbergasted because we had no ratings whatsoever. I mean, we were like the last people in the market.
Yeah.
And I suddenly realized that because my father had said no to me about everything my entire life, no meant nothing to me. That it was just a means of getting to yes. Mm. And so in that one opportunity, I realized I had found my calling, that this was something I was very good at, that I could read body language, that I was very excited about it, and that enthusiasm, you know, enthusiasm really does sway people. I mean, whatever you're enthusiastic
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
So, and I have this very natural, enthusiastic personality. So I realized that my true talent was basically sales. Now, you can take sales and aim it in tangible things or non-tangible things. And so I went from tangible things that I was selling, originally intangible things, to tangible things like real estate, to intangible things again like ideas.
Yeah.
So once you start to realize that you do something well sort of naturally. In my book, Success is an Inside Job, I do a whole chapter on how do you find exactly where your talents are. And I always tell people, go back into your life in your childhood and think about what you did, and you did so well and you so enjoyed it. And when I originally did the exercise, I remembered a time when I was in the 7th grade and we had to give a speech. And everybody was very nervous about giving the speech, and it was my turn to give a speech. And so the teacher had said, give a speech on something you have a passion for. I had a passion for horses. So I stood up in front of the room, and my teacher's name was Mrs. Lane, and I gave my speech on horses. And I have to tell you, Perry, the look on her face was pure stunned. And when I finished my speech, she actually said to me, oh my God, you do something well. Because I was such an average student, I was such a cut up in class, I was such a, you know, whisper talk, not pay attention, not be interested in school. And then I gave this speech, and I had, you know, in the 7th grade, you don't know anything about speech giving. But because of my passion for horses and my enthusiasm about the subject, I really gave this inspiring speech. And as I look back in high school, the only things that I excelled in was public speaking. I won all the speaking contests.
Yeah.
And when there was no school for that. I mean, there was no courses for it. It was just I would speak on things that I had a passion in my heart for.
Mm-hmm.
So it was looking back, you know, hindsight, you can see, okay, that was my natural talent.
Yeah.
So how do you capitalize on that? And the easiest way to capitalize on it, of course, was in sales.
Yeah.
And finding a product that you so believed in, that you so enjoyed talking about, that you felt so much integrity, that when you shared the information, that your enthusiasm was so contagious, that your sales were just outrageous. And so no matter what kind of sales I was in, I always won all the awards, I won, you know, anything and everything that always reinforced to me that I was on the right path. And I also believe that the universe will tell you what you're good at. And what I mean by that is, over the years, after being in sales, you know, you'd have conversations with people, and people would say to me, you know, Lee, you're such a good communicator. You should be a teacher. Because I really didn't want to be a teacher, because that meant, you know, being with kids, or, you know, having a job, or,
yeah,
you know, being in a structured environment. And I don't like structured environments. I like to run my own show.
Enforcing a structure, which is probably even worse.
Oh, absolutely. So I wouldn't have been a good, like, school teacher.
Yeah.
I would have been always in trouble for that. Or if you should be on TV, or, and I remember the first time people would say that, I would be thinking, geez, what drugs have you been taking? You know, that's so bizarre.
Right.
It didn't occur to me. And by the way, when I was hearing this, there weren't women doing public speaking. You know, there was the Zig Ziglar out there.
Yeah.
But I mean, this was way before women were doing this kind of thing. So as it turned out, I ended up in commercial real estate, which I went into out of greed. I only went into commercial real estate to make money.
Mm.
Now, I have to tell you that is the biggest mistake you can ever make in your career, is to do something sheerly for the money.
Yes.
Because, because what happens when you do something sheerly for the money is that if you're not, I mean, you have 1,440 minutes of every day. How are you spending that time?
Yeah.
If you are dragging yourself to work to get that paycheck, or to try to make a commission in something that you have no natural inclination, and me going down to the city looking at sewer plots for commercial real estate was just not my cup of tea. I mean, I used to wake up in the morning and just try to think of every excuse I could have not to go to work.
Mm. That's sad.
It was sad, you know, and in a very short time I just said, this is not for me. And when I do executive coaching, I always share with people, when you wake up in the morning, you should really be, to some degree, excited about looking forward to your day. I mean, you don't have to be, you know, screaming, Mimi's crazy, you know, I can't wait to get there. But I mean, there has to be an anticipation, an enjoyment.
A lift,
satisfaction. Yeah. And at the end of the day, you have to feel in some way as if you made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only when you go down your own soul's path.
Yeah.
It's like what you came to Earth to do.
Yeah.
So,
right.
In a nutshell, I came to Earth to be a messenger of information to inspire other people. And I do it many, many different ways.
Okay.
But I do it from an entrepreneur's perspective, of, you know, instead of being a minister, an entrepreneur, because I'm a true capitalist. I love money.
Yeah.
And I love to spend money.
Yeah.
And so I love, you know, it's very exciting to earn money, you know, to be able to create money out of thin air.
Right.
With your own ideas.
Yeah, it is. It's very, you know, I'd kind of like to, well, dwell on some negative aspects of not doing this for a little bit. There's a slice of the business opportunity world, certainly, which is basically presenting people, you know, something like, okay, if you could shovel horse manure for 2 hours every day for 5 years, and then be independently wealthy, would you do it? Okay? And if the answer is yes, then well, okay, then let me show you what to do. And you know, there's merit, certainly, to asking yourselves questions like that from time to time. But the truth is the marketplaces and people are vastly more complicated than simple little propositions like that. And more than likely, if you hate something as much as all of us would hate shoveling horse manure, you'll never get good enough at it. I mean, you know, you're going to have to love it. Or I remember one guy said, you know, even Mike Tyson somehow learned to love getting hit.
That's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's somehow or another, in some perverse way. I mean, that's how he came to be a good boxer. And I got myself all twisted into, a pretzel with this sort of mentality where I'm going to get all motivated and the answer to every problem is massive action. And if you know, this was my frame of mind for quite a few years of my life, and it, number one, it got me in enormous quantities of debt. I dealt with constant rejection all the time. I brought that mentality into a sales career, which, you know, was just ended up being more of the same. And it wasn't until everything was in a nosedive and getting worse on a daily basis before it literally forced me to completely reevaluate everything that I was trying to do. Everything that I thought I knew about sales in particular. And things started to turn around when I got right about two things. And one of them was what I should really be doing. In my case, it was finding a very cohesive mix of sales and marketing and technical skills. I was an engineer earlier. And I'm a good engineer, but it's boring. On the other extreme, you put me in a sales situation where the only people I can deal with is purchasing agents, and there's no technology, there's no differentiation, it's like, okay, you know, do you want to buy my red wagon wheels or their red wagon wheels? That was murder, and I did that for a while. But when I mixed the two, and that was part of the equation that really, really turned me around. The other one was I had to unlearn a lot of junk that I thought I knew about sales, which was not right. And, you know, we're at a Dan Kennedy seminar, and Dan Kennedy I can credit with having made me unlearn all that crap, and his model really actually worked. So what have you seen in the negative aspects of things that people buy into?
I think your example of if I shovel horse manure for 2 hours a day in 5 years, I'll be independently wealthy. Okay, let's just take that premise. Mm-hmm. That is a false premise, an assumption that people make, and a sacrifice that they make. If I suffer through this job for so many years, in my mind, there's some kind of happiness picture that I have.
Or virtue, or
a security. I mean, I cannot tell you how many people on an executive level that I have coached who say to me, I despise my career, but I have only 13 more years to go before I retire. And I'm like, who says you're going to be alive in 13 years?
Yeah, and that's a long time.
And the quality of those 13 years is going to be so miserable. And look how fast you're aging, how miserable you are to your family and your children, and what kind of role model you are to those people. So the assumption of that our society gives us is, it, in the Western culture, if you suffer through things, that there's going to be a big reward. My feeling is that if you're living a life that is so unfulfilling, that where you're really not using your natural talents and abilities and skills, and that you feel a lift and you feel good about what you're doing, or you feel that you're making a difference in some way, that you're really not living. You are existing.
Yeah.
You are going through the motions of life, but that you're missing the point of what I call integrity living. Mm-hmm. And integrity living means to me that people, we're all going to have bad days, Barry. I mean, you know, that's just inevitable, and you just have to sort of reframe it or learn from the day and realize, you know, tomorrow's a new day.
Right.
And you'd be the eternal optimist of tomorrow will be better.
Right.
But if you wake up, you know, year after year after year, and you are just miserable, and there's so many things that where people are set up to fail. When I was in commercial real estate, I was working for a family-owned business that had been in business since, you know, the 1930s. Well, one, I could have been the best person in commercial real estate in the whole world. I was never going to be part ownership of that company. It just wasn't going to happen.
Right.
So, you know, wake up, smell the coffee, and say, okay, where am I going? I mean, am I earning a paycheck? That's fine. But where am I going with that? I'm never going to, that doesn't create a future for me. So I try to get people to think about, what would you, the question, the big question always is, what would you do if money were not an issue? And I do a lot of television, and I love television, and I always, it's, to me, it's playtime. I mean, when I go to do television, they don't realize that I would do it for free. That I have,
we're not going to tell them either.
Right? I mean, I have such a ball. I mean, I tell them dirty jokes, I laugh, I joke, I make everybody else laugh. To me, TV is this huge game that I just enjoy.
Yeah.
And what they also don't realize is that even though I do a lot of work before I get on stage to prepare to speak to a specific audience, whether it is NASA or Walt Disney or Ford Global or, you know, in a, you know, big rally, I do a lot of work. But once I'm on stage, I would do it for free. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Now, I am one of these natural rescue kind of personalities, so coaching is perfect for me. You know, so if you have a problem, I have a solution. And so these are my natural inclinations. I use my intuition. I use my logic mind. I use my experience. So you combine, like in your case, you use your left brain as an engineer and your right brain as a salesperson. You just needed the right mix.
Yes.
Where both of those,
yes,
hemispheres of the brain were being stimulated enough that even when you had to do the sort of, you know, left brain stuff that maybe was more tedious, the right brain stuff, you know, overcame the tedious feelings and you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So in life, as we're, you've got to figure out what you're hardwired for. My father used to kid me and said, "You're not wife material," and which was hilarious because it's absolutely true. Because, you know, I'm very, to me, you know, dinner is where are you ordering, and I have had a housekeeper since the minute I got working. I mean, you know, to me, cleaning house is like 6 hours of drudgery.
Yeah.
I can pay somebody to clean my house. I could be out selling something,
yep,
or creating something, or having a good time.
Right.
And, you know, successful people who cut their grass, unless you want to cut your grass, pay somebody else to cut,
yeah,
your grass.
Yeah.
So in life, it's like you got to realize that you never know, you know, when your big ticket in the sky is being called. And that if you're not living your life utilizing the talents, you know, that you were born with. And see, the problem, Perry, is most people don't even know what their talents are.
Well, let's grab that idea. There's two scenarios that I'd like you to go through. The first one would be the younger person that hasn't found their talent. The second person would be the older person who knows what their passion is but is scared to death of leaving some security or whatever to go do it. Midlife crisis, if you will. But let's start with the younger person, and they've never really actually identified their talents, and they've never quite looked at it this way. Can you sell that person on what's going to happen in their life when they identify those things and talk about how they would nail those areas down and be able to put them on a piece of paper and think clearly about, okay, I'm going to pursue this?
Well, how about if I... I'm not sure I can actually do that, but what I can do is encourage people, let's say a younger person. First, you know, I love it when, you know, people go to college and they say, you know, these, the ripe age of 18, you know, pick your career for life, you know, pick a major.
Yeah.
You know, the major is I would like to sleep late.
Right.
I have no idea what my major is.
Yeah, drink and see girls and stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
So my advice to young people is, don't be afraid to experiment in a lot of different things, that if you choose something, that's just a choice. You have the right to make new choices. And that every choice that you make, you will get experience that will come in handy in your life. And let me just give you specifics about my life. I mentioned to you, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do in school. I went to college, basically hated college, also hated school. Then got out of school, I was a rock and roll disc jockey. Then I started working for an electronics company selling phone systems and background music systems, which is very left brain, except for I just had to learn a little technology enough to sell. Because, yeah. I mean, if you're good at sales, right. you can learn your product.
Right.
Did that for a while. And as a hobby, I was into photography. And then one day out of the blue just said, you know, this technical stuff is just, you know, boring me to death. I'm going to be a professional photographer. And so I took I just sort of decided, okay, I'm going to try this. And started traveling around the world doing landscape photography. And was just sort of having this wild experience being a photographer.
Huh.
Did that for a while and then decided to go back into commercial real estate for money since I didn't make any money in the professional photography thing. But the truth is, everything that I did actually led up to who I am now. See, I needed the professional photography stuff because of the creativity and, you know, just learning to see life from a different perspective.
Yeah.
The commercial real estate stuff was great because I learned a lot of discipline. You know, I learned to, you know, actually trudge through things I didn't want to do but could get done. The electronic stuff, the sales stuff, the management stuff, all of it.
Like, even though you didn't like real estate, you did it for a while. It was a valuable experience.
It was a very valuable experience. And for young people, I always encourage them, while you're young, go out there and experiment.
Yeah.
You know, before you get tied down with, you know, house payments and kids and diapers and lots of, you know, lots of things that trap you. If you get chance, try things. Hey, the worst thing you can do is quit and do something else. I mean, you know, be young, be an adventurer. And now to deal with, like, the older person who is stuck somewhere for security, this is a very important thing. Security is the biggest illusion of our life, because if there was, I mean, Perry, security is a joke. There is no such thing. I mean, there's an old saying, and I don't know who I can credit this with, but if you want security, go to jail. I mean, there is no security.
That's some security.
That's a good point. So, I mean, you know, people are staying in, I mean, just look at all the corporations that have failed and all the people who have lost their jobs, and they stayed in jobs they hated because they were going to get a gold watch in retirement.
And then they got slapped.
And they got...
by a wet fish. I mean, it was...
it was horrible. And it was really what it was is that our world is an unpredictable place. There is no such thing as fair. There is no such thing as security, and there is no such thing as if I pay the price, I'm going to get a reward down the road. There's a price to pay for everything that you do, and there are consequences. So, you know, as an entrepreneur, in my life, I've had, you know, times when I was just getting started and things, and money was very tight, and it was. I remember one time I was 23 days from being totally broke and couldn't pay my car payment, and couldn't make my house payment, and was like, couldn't sleep at night. What the heck am I going to do? And then, you know, because you really get to that breaking point, you know, you do have those breakthrough ideas, and you do take the action. And then I look at people who have worked in the same job, and who have a retirement, and they have a dental plan, and they have all this stuff. But they're not alive.
Yeah.
They're not really experiencing what I consider the adventure of life.
They're staring blankly at the car window ahead of them on the expressway.
Yes.
Right?
And you know, and let's be fair, we want some people in life to do that. we want things to get done.
And there always will be people who will.
Yes, and we want people to, you know, make sure that when we go to a restaurant, we can eat, and somebody will clean the streets, and somebody will get us insurance, and somebody will do these things.
Right.
And they're hardwired to be followers.
Yes.
They're hardwired for someone to be an authority over them.
Yes.
But this tape, I take it, is for people who really want to control their own destiny.
Right.
And here's the thing.
Absolutely.
If you want a smooth road in life, that's the biggest illusion. That happily ever after stuff, it's just crap.
Yeah.
It's just a joke. Because if you look back in life, it's your biggest challenges that you've learned the most, you've gained the most, the wisdom. You know, sometimes the joke is, you know, I've had enough wisdom, you know, give me some money.
but
at this stage in my life, if I die tomorrow, I really know in my heart I've had an exciting, full adventure yeah. of a life. I mean, I got arrested in Israel as a spy because I because I had been to Egypt for 3 weeks and I and been all over Europe, and my passport was, you know, punched with all these different things, and so they detained me for 48 hours. I mean, what an experience. By the way, not one I want to repeat again.
Right.
But a great experience.
It's a great, story.
It's a great story. I mean, how many people do you know were arrested as a spy in Israel?
You're my first one.
So.
You're my very first one.
So, I mean, you know, I tell this story and you see the horror on people's faces. And at the time, it was really horrible. But now, you know, whenever things really get bad, I go, well, hell, I'm not being arrested. You know, that's great.
Yeah, right.
So they took me to the plane and put me to New York. And, you know, well, we're, you're not a spy, but get the heck out. So
yeah.
As a photographer, I had, I mean, Africa, and I'm being surrounded by a tribe that, you know, wants to basically kill me because I've taken their picture. They believe if you take their picture, you have stolen their soul.
Yes.
So, you know, and I have traveled the world, and I have, you know, been in boardrooms. I spoke once to, and first in my speaking career, I remember six of the top executives of a telephone company. Everybody in that room, I was like in my early 30s, and everybody in that room was like over 65, and I'm thinking to myself, what on earth am I going to tell these people? And yet, what I told them was exactly what they needed to hear. And so it was exhilarating and it was fearful, and I like couldn't sleep the night before, being afraid I wasn't going to be good enough.
Yeah.
And yet, that adventure, you know, is so exhilarating. And so I'm not trying to say that I'm like a adrenaline junkie,
right.
But you know,
right.
I there has to be the peaks and there has to be the valleys in life. And so when you strike out on your own and really do who you are, in fact, I always tell my clients to read biographies, because the great thing about biographies is that when you read about famous people's lives, God, they had tragedy,
yeah.
They had great success, they had massive failures
yeah.
over and over
yeah.
and over again.
Yeah.
They pulled themselves from the ashes, they became
right.
the phoenix.
Right.
Some of them had terrible relationships. Some of them were betrayed. I mean,
yeah.
their lives are so filled with color and texture and adventure. And, I mean, you can tell just talking to me that that
yeah.
means something to me.
Well, it does. You know, my wife and I homeschool our kids. To give her credit, she does most of it. And she works very hard at it. But one of the things that you'll see with a lot of homeschoolers is a very heavy emphasis on reading historical biography stuff. And that is so vastly more meaningful than, you know, some memorizing a bunch of dates or
Absolutely.
Facts. Or Laura's reading a book about, is it John Quincy Adams, you know, one of the original founders. And I mean, he tells all these stories about his friends who were Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin and George Washington and all these other people, and all these stories of battles and stuff, or how British shot six people in Boston before the Revolutionary War ever broke out, and he was their trial defense attorney, you know. I mean, there's these nuances of his and how he could have easily been vilified by everybody, but because he stood on principle and did the right thing and said it's our principle as Americans that everybody deserves a fair trial and a good attorney, even if they're one of these British whores or whatever you might want to say, you know, and he walked that fine line, he gained all this respect. And so, I mean, I just bring this up because, yes, stories of real people, as you know, of what really happened, is so rich. And yeah, they fail, they screw up.
Oh yeah, the mistakes are incredible. And by reading biographies, and particularly in the beginning of my career, reading a lot of biographies, I was comforted that, hey,
yeah.
I'm not the only one who spends money on a flop, and that, you know, it
yeah.
just goes right over the cliff. It's gone, it's history. I'm not the only one who has misjudged a situation. I'm not the only one who has had failed relationships. I'm not the only one who
yeah.
has basically screwed up. And so with that, also, I just think it's part of life that I really honestly believe, Perry, that most people don't experience life. They just exist. Right. I consider that a form of suicide. It's very slow, yeah, and it's very painful.
Right.
But if you're getting up every morning, and you're looking in the mirror, and you're thinking of every way that you could get out of actually going to where you're committed to go,
right,
or doing what you're supposed to be doing,
right,
you have to ask yourself this question. If I were to die tomorrow, how would you describe my life? What did I contribute? What kind of role model was I? You know, what was the purpose of my life? And, you know, if you can't answer those questions, those are very serious questions to ask yourself. And this doesn't mean that you just go quit your job tomorrow. I mean, you have to do intelligent things like, you know, look around your life and who do you admire? Who are your sort of unconscious heroes?
Yeah.
And why are they your heroes?
Yeah.
And you can have all these mentors in life that you've never met, you probably will never meet,
mm-hmm,
but they can so influence your life. In my life, I was asked not too long ago, who in history, if you could go back in time, who would you have been? And I said, well, I would have been Lily Langtry. And of course, they didn't know who that was, but she was this wild woman in the early 1900s who was the first woman to, like, wear lipstick and wear pants and smoke in public and had an affair with the king. And she was this great actress, and she traveled around the world. She made just bukus of money, and she basically snubbed her... she snubbed society of what women were supposed to be and said, I'm going to be what I want to be.
She tromped into a man's world with her work boots.
And enjoyed every bit of it. Now, I'm not saying I want to be and use her qualities, but the guts of this woman.
Right.
The vivaciousness.
Right.
The snubbing of society of this is who you told me because I'm a woman and I have breasts that I'm supposed to stay home and do this.
Yeah.
And guess what? I don't want to do that. And poor thing got, you know, she got born before her time.
Yeah.
So Lily Langtry is a very, very famous, she's one of the most famous actresses. And I don't want to be an actress, but I just thought her life was so fascinating. In fact, PBS did a whole 9-part series on her life. And, I mean, she definitely had a lot of heartache, but she had a lot of triumphs in the sense of she lived her life on her terms. And those are my heroes, people who live their life on their terms. Regardless of the pain and the mess involved, they live their life that way.
Hmm. Keep going with this idea of, you know, okay, I'm 46 years old, I have this job, I have kids about to go to college, I have $50,000 in savings, which ain't near enough for, you know, for what a person my age should have, and I've got this job, and I do not like it, and it's 13 more years to go.
Okay.
If you know, and I got these real problems that I would face if I jumped out.
Well,
how would you say that person?
Okay, there's such a thing as transitions, you know? I mean, when you get pregnant, you don't have the baby the next day.
Right.
I mean, you got 9 months so the baby can form and, you know, become a little human being. So if you're one of these people who is working in this stucco job that you hate, using very technical terms here.
Yes, stucco.
And so
Lee's dictionary descriptive terminology for the human experience.
So you get this job you don't like.
Yeah.
Don't quit. That's not intelligent. That's just stupid, actually.
Let's come back to that in a little bit.
Okay,
yeah.
So what you want to do at this point, you've identified that you have a problem. You have identified that you no longer am satisfied living the life that you're living, but you have financial and family obligations that you must be responsible for. So you have to be an intelligent person. At this point, you need to start get out of your box, get out of your paradigm, and start literally job hunting for something that would pay you or give you financial rewards that you can take care of your obligations, but allow you to do something that you would like to do or that would give you more freedom. Another opportunity would be, you know, look into a home-based business where you start on a part-time basis, very small, and you start doing something that you start building money.
Yeah. A passionate thing that you're into.
Something you're into, but you start small and you start building up until you get to that transitional stage where I can quit the old job because now I have something going that's taking care of my obligations and that I have passion for that will take off.
Yeah.
And you know, when I started my speaking career, I prepared for it for 5 years. I mean, I went to every seminar, I read every book, I studied people. So once I knew I wanted to do it, I didn't just jump into it and do it. It was like a form of going to school for it. And for some people, that may mean I'm in a bad job. Okay, I've identified there's something else I'd rather do, and maybe I don't have enough education. So okay, let me take a course at college, or let me, you know, get a correspondence course.
A course at college that helps you do what you
want
to
do. Right.
Not that stamps you with some...
something else you don't want to do. Like,
right.
Don't be taking a course in accounting if you don't want to be an accountant.
Right.
You know, that's just going down the wrong road again.
Right.
But, you know, when life is this, you know, most people think of life as the destination. My focus in life is the journey. And that every step that you take has to be aimed in the direction that you want to be going in. And when you realize that you are going down a road that you don't want to go on, then start to make a new plan.
Yes.
You know, for anybody who's listening to this tape who hasn't read the most famous book, Think and Grow Rich, his famous quote is, if you make a plan that fails, make a new plan.
Yeah.
That plan fails, make a new plan. That plan fails, make a new plan.
Right.
And that the only people who fail in life are the people who give up and stop trying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here is my career of 21 years. I'm at Dan Kennedy Seminar.
Yeah.
And I'm here for lots of reasons. I'm here because I like the stimulation of being around like-minded individuals who think there is no limit to life. And what you can create.
Right.
I like to
There's some very big thinking in this crowd.
Yes, it's a create because we earn our living by creativity.
Yes.
Not by following the norm, but by getting out of the norms box and capitalizing.
Breaking norms.
Yeah. Breaking paradigms, breaking the box thinking, and finding ways to use our talents to actually earn nice incomes.
Yeah.
But I'm also here because I'm very, very open as an entrepreneur for new stimulation and ideas. I like everything I do, and I want to add to it. In other words, I never see myself as a person that will retire.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally can retire financially if I want to now, but what would I do with myself?
Right.
I mean, I'm not the kind of person who hangs around with beauty parlors.
Right. You're already doing stuff you'd do if it was...
Right.
Paid.
Yes.
Right.
Not all stuff, but a lot of stuff.
Right.
So my goal now is I'm noticing that niche marketing, so I've been shotgunning a great deal in life, and now I am focusing in on passive income, so creating a niche market where you set systems up, and then you set them up and you nurture them and let them grow, and then passive income comes to you.
Right.
So you want... You're in your basket, you just don't want one basket of eggs, because as we talked earlier, you know, when 9/11 happened, what happened was a lot of speakers didn't have any work for 6 months and went out of business. But even though I didn't have as much work as normal, I had other areas that I gather income from. So that wasn't a tragedy for me on a financial level, because there wasn't very much work. Other areas filled in the slots. So it's like, if your basket isn't full in one place, you sort of go to the other basket. And we're all multi-talented. I don't care what anybody says.
Yes.
You are multi-talented. And when you... In my book, Success is an Inside Job, and I am plugging the book because, truthfully, the people who have
read
it... Do
it shamelessly.
The people
I'm not getting paid for that. I think if any of this appeals to you, get it.
Well, the great thing about this book is that it really does talk about using your potential and how to use it and success techniques. But it also, there's a chapter, in fact, in the beginning of the book, when you get to chapter 2, it's like, if you have found exactly who you are in life and what you love, go to chapter 3. You don't have to read chapter 2.
Yeah.
Because these are all the things, the exercises I give people on how to find their talents. and how to find their skills. And it's also important for the guy who's 46 years old with all the responsibility that you guys see yourself as a risk taker. You're taking a risk staying in a place that you don't like, whether you know it or not.
Right.
The risk is you're going to die bored to death.
Right.
And the company could fold tomorrow,
right.
And all this illusion that you had that you're going to have some retirement and protection for your family because you have suffered through something is ridiculous.
And you'll feel very, very betrayed, and you'll have to work through a whole
You will, absolutely. That, in fact, when I do executive coaching for people who have been laid off, that's the number one emotion. That's the hard anger, betrayal, and a disillusionment of life, that this is not fair. I worked. I was a good boy.
Right.
I worked hard.
Right.
I followed the rules. I did what they told me to do, and I still got screwed. So this is not fair. How could this happen to me? Well, throughout history, I mean, if you really do study history, I mean, there's nothing new. There has been betrayal by big companies, small companies, medium companies, you know, with the stock market thing. I mean, today, it's interesting for me as a speaker and trainer sometimes that they won't spend money on training their employees because it, you know, it's going to take away from the bottom line. It won't make the stock look as attractive.
Right.
So it's out, those companies are out of integrity with, you know, the true business sense. Why are you in business? You're not in business just to make money. You're actually in business to create a service and also to do something for your employees. There has to be fair exchange for value.
Right.
And for many companies, there is no fair exchange for value. You're only as good as your last
order.
Yeah, and particularly sales.
Right. I had this experience where I took this, went through this exercise, and it was put together by some company, and it was very good. It was this retreat I went on, and we had to like write 6 stories about things we'd done in our life that we just felt really good about. It'd be like 2 from your childhood, 2 from your teens, 2 from your adult life or something. And just write the story or tell the stories, one or the other, and I think it was written though. And then when he got done, they had these exercises where they'd ask the person, your partner, to look at the story that you just wrote, and it was usually just 2 or 3 paragraphs, and to really look at what you wrote about, what skills shined through in those little victories, and as well as more subtle things like how you told the story, the point of view that you brought to the story, the things that you mentioned and the things that obviously would have been there that you didn't mention at all. Did you notice that other people were applauding, or was it just how you felt and all this? And it brought a great deal of clarity to some things that I was very good at, that I had been, people had been telling me. You know what she said, you know, the universe is going to tell you. Yeah, well, you know, the world around you will, if you're paying attention, it will reflect back to you where those zones are and the things that you do that, like, wow, how do you do that? And looking back, that it was very accurate, but it probably wasn't. It was another 2 or 3 years before I actually began to pay attention to that. I remember thinking, well, I know this is telling me this, but I want to do that. And I was off in this complete tangent. And when I got my wake-up call that I referred to earlier, I got my notebooks out from doing that, which thankfully I hadn't thrown away. And I started going, okay, now how? I got this skill. Now, how? Let's imagine here, if I was going to mix these things together, which might seem real unlikely, those skills might not seem to line up. Not in a square, not in a round hole world.
Not in a logical society accepted roles.
Right. And I started to imagine, now if I was to mix those together somehow, what would that job or career or business look like? You know, if you just relax and try to, what if? An image has to come into your mind, right?
That's right.
And it's not as far-fetched as it sounds to actually do that.
you know, Napoleon Hill said, whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, he can achieve. And that was like, I almost tattooed that on my arm.
Right.
Because
right.
when I decided that I really did want to be a true communicator, I went within to become successful instead of going outwardly. I really focused on mental rehearsal of creating an image of my mind of the end result of how I wanted to live my life, being financially independent, being respected in my field, living a life that was my personality, which is sort of, you know, fun and adventuresome. And I would picture these out. I would picture this end result of what I would want. And what would happen for me is then all these creative inspiration came to me on how to make that outcome become a reality. And the other thing, it's very important when people are trying to find themselves, is that they become acutely aware of their own self-talk, because we're self-fulfilling prophecies.
Yeah.
And if you're telling yourself, like Perry, if you start telling yourself, oh, I can never do this, this will never work for me, you know, I'm a goof off, I'm a failure, I'm this, I'm that, you shut down all your possibility thinking and your risk-taking abilities before you ever get started. So I call it, you actually have to ignore reality, which is sort of fun to do sometimes. Imagine what your life, what you want your life to be like, and then you work backwards. In fact, in my seminars, I say this about success. Success is not like reading a book, where you go to the beginning, go to the middle, and go to the end. True success in life is that you go to the end results that you want, and then make a plan of action on how to get there.
Yeah.
And that your plan of action has to be your unique plan, not what your mother wanted you to do, not what society wants you to do, not what other people expect of you, but what satisfies you. And in our society, we're so afraid that someone will criticize us or laugh at us or put us down, that I always tell my coaching clients, never tell anyone but your intimate friends and support system what you really want to do. Because when I told people I wanted to be a professional speaker, I'm telling you, I had to pick them off the floor laughing. Oh, let me get this straight. You're a farmer's daughter from Truckee Tuck, Virginia,
right.
and you're going to be a speaker, a little
right.
southern woman.
Right.
You know, all 5'6" of you. I don't think so.
Right. They've never seen the astonishing speech about the horse. Like,
that's correct. Like
right.
My teacher did.
They've never seen that.
And they didn't know me from that perspective. And because we're taught to believe that other people are smarter than we are, we then...
Isn't that a subtle one?
Yes, we think that other people are actually... We always overestimate other people's intelligence, by the way. Always.
Huh.
And so we think they're smarter than we are, so they don't think we can do it. So we immediately put ourselves down, oh, I could never be self-employed, or I could never be in sales, or I could never be a millionaire,
yeah.
or I could never own this, or I could never get this certain, you know, mate, and, you know... Our self-talk is that mechanism within us that will make a difference on how many risks you will take, how much confidence that you have. Now, if I'm accused of anything, I'm accused of being overconfident. Because when people say to me, can you do something? And I know in my heart I can learn it.
Yeah.
I go, sure, I can do that. Because I know I can learn it. And then if I'm interested in it, I have the motivation, the stamina, the determination, the persistence to actually learn it. Now, if there's something I really don't want to do, I've really learned in life to have discernment. Like if someone calls to me and says, will you do a seminar on writing skills? Yes, I've written several books, and no, I don't want to do a skill on writing skills. That's not my forte. That's not my highest and best use of my talents. And
right.
yes, I could do it, and I would be average. I really only want to do things, Perry,
yeah.
that I am really extraordinary
right.
at.
And you could misapply this, do all, you know, anything that you can believe you can achieve. You can misapply it and
absolutely.
try to stick yourself into this thing that, you know, it's just isn't not your zone, right?
Absolutely. And the problem is people usually do that because the impulse to do that does not come from within them. Success
yeah.
is an inside job. It comes from the external world I want to be approved of by the external world instead of the reference from the internal part of yourself of this absolutely, intuitively, internally, I know in my heart feels good. Right. See, there's a real secret to life, and here it is. I mean, just this is not rocket scientist. If it feels good, do it. If it feels bad, don't do it. And meaning in the sense of your work.
Yeah.
I mean, if
there's a lot of subtlety in the word feels.
Yes.
And you have to really think about it. But yeah.
I mean, so, I mean, it's real easy when I do one-on-one coaching. Because coaching is very easy for me because I'm an intuitive person and I listen very intently to what people say. Because people always tell me their problems. Because they say, oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. Well, you just told me for 10 minutes what's wrong with you. You know, if we turn on a tape recorder and you listen to yourself, you would know how that you self-talked yourself out of the confidence to take the risk.
Yeah.
That you think other people are smarter.
Yeah.
And that you can't do that.
Yeah.
But in reality, if you have a desire to do it and you're willing to have commitment and persistence, and I am not saying that there isn't a lot of hard work. I have a massive high work ethic. I came from a farm. We
right.
had very serious
sure.
work ethics. I'm self-employed. I know if it's going to get done, I got to make sure that it's done. Even though I have staff, it's my butt on the line if it's not done right. It's my reputation. It's my money. So, you know, there is hard work involved. But when you like what you're doing, it's not work. So
yeah.
I just got interviewed by a magazine, and she said, well, you know, if you won the lottery tomorrow, what would you do? I'd say, I'd show up at my office.
Yeah.
Because I like
That's a great...
Because I give everybody a bonus, of course, but
yes.
I would show up at the office. I mean, not that I wouldn't do all the wild things you would do for yourself, but I would still have my business because that's what feeds me in life, is the enjoyment of seeing someone in the audience get it.
Yeah.
Or someone come up to me and say, you know, I read your book, or I listened to your tapes, or I saw your video, or you touched my life, or you gave me confidence, or I'm doing this because something you said. Now, I haven't said anything original. There's nothing original. I am simply recycling, you know, all the famous philosophies, but I put them in my own
yeah.
honest, unique way.
If this stuff wasn't timeless, it wouldn't work.
Well, absolutely. And here's the great model. If you study the models of successful people and what you must do,
yeah.
if you choose a career you want to be in, you must relentlessly look at the people who are successful in that model.
Right.
As a homework assignment, I always tell everyone in my seminars, become an interviewer, such as you are today.
Yeah.
When you sit next to someone that's interesting, what do you do? By the way, who's like the best people in your industry? And why are they the best people?
Oh, that's a good question.
What are the books that they read? What are the seminars they go to? What are their philosophies? How are they with their families? Are they people with integrity?
Yeah.
You know, what are their belief systems, their spiritual belief systems?
Right.
You know, all those things are important to me. And so when I interview people, what I'm really looking for are common denominators or characteristics that I can always be adding into my own life, as you know, my repertoire of tools and strategies and abilities and resources. So if I notice, you know, someone like you, and you know, I admire a talent or a skill or a characteristic that you have, you know, there's a mental note. Oh, I want to be like Perry in that situation.
Hmm.
And the other
situation.
Thing, yeah, in that situation.
Being a
key. Yeah, not everything about.
Right.
Please don't model my life. My gosh, that would be insane.
Right.
Because you don't have my life experience and grew up with my parents.
Yeah.
And where I grew up and all my background, but your background, you know, there's. I just don't believe that God put us on earth just to be trolls. That we
yeah.
just existed.
Absolutely.
And we live until we die, and then we turn to dust. That's just not my belief system.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Well, I think way too logically to believe that.
Right.
I just believe
right.
that we have this opportunity in life to have this life, and that in the life, it's going to be the roller coaster ride of the highs and the lows and the goods and the bads. But that you really got to grab the good and just
yeah.
squeeze the best out of it and realize that, you know, you could be gone tomorrow.
Last question before I tell everybody how to contact you. I have a way of describing, you know, I had to find these zones where I could envision ways that circles of talent overlapped. Okay, here's a talent, and here's where the two could be used together, right? And that's a place where I'm really unique instead of a little unique, right? But then, you know, you're not going to have any commercial success with that until that overlaps with somebody else's want or need, right? I've got a talent, I got these two talents, and somebody else is like, yeah, I have a hard time finding salespeople that can talk about technical lingo too, for example. You know, I mean, that was one for me. Now, tell me a story. I know you struggled in speaking for quite a while.
Yes.
Before things started going on
like cylinder. 5 years, at least.
5 years.
Yes.
Could you describe how it was that you found these zones in the marketplace where your gift overlapped with what somebody else's wanted, and you had an aha experience, and how you discovered that instead of possibly wandering in the desert for 20 years. I mean, tell me a story like that.
Well, originally when I was in the speaking business, I saw a need that real estate agents, because I had a real estate license, needed sales training in my hometown.
Oh.
Of course, instantly we went into this recession where the interest rates went to 24% and, you know,
yeah,
real estate people were falling out like flies. And I, you know, woke up one morning and went, whoa, we need a new gig here.
Yeah.
Okay. And I started asking myself, okay, if I could, really, what is my passion of speaking? I was really doing the real estate thing because I saw a need.
Yeah.
So I really asked myself, what is my passion? If, you know, what is it that I almost need to learn the most, that by reinforcing in myself? And it was a lot of self-image psychology and, you know, using your potential. So I started actually teaching that. But what really helped me the most was to go to someone who wasn't emotionally involved with me, like a coach. And for me, it just happened to be I joined the National Speakers Association and I met Dan Kennedy.
Hmm.
And I hired Dan Kennedy with what money I could scrape together to...
Your last... Before the credit card
was completely
maxed out. I'm
telling you, it was really not good.
Right.
And I really said, okay, here I am and this is what I like, and because you're not emotionally involved with me, tell me your thoughts. So what I went and I did is I went to a few experts, and it saved a lot of time, and they gave me a lot of suggestions, which I used, and a lot of which I didn't use.
What were they looking for?
Dan asked me all kinds of, I went to several people, but Dan asked me all kinds of questions about, you know, what was my passion, and, you know, what did I like to read, and what did I like to study. And so he eventually said, well, the truth is what you like is what you should teach, because you will have the stamina and the passion and to always stay up to date with it.
Yeah.
If you start teaching something just for money, you will eventually get very tired and worn out, and, you know, you'll deplete your energy. And I'm just paraphrasing. But he basically, and that's what I say to people about the one areas you always want to invest in is getting some a person's expert opinion on how you can use your talents and abilities that you admire. Now, this does not mean you have to take it, but here's the point. Does it resonate true to you?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes somebody will tell you something and go, my gosh, that's absolutely true. And why did I think of that? It's one of those slap your head, aha moments. And then there's some people who are telling you, you go, who are you talking about? That's not me at all. So your own intuition of this fits me, this doesn't fit me. And the other thing is, be relentlessly open to, you know, looking around the world at, like, oh, this guy does this. You know, he's working for a technical company and they're selling a certain thing, and I'm interested in that, and I like that, and I'm interested in learning about that. So the secret of what you want to sell in life is basically what you want to learn.
Mm.
You see, you know the old saying, you teach what you need to learn the most?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm.
You can almost use that for sales. So in sales, you want to sell the things that you're the most interested in.
Curious.
The ones you're curious about, the one you're fascinated with.
Yeah.
So when you talk to a prospect, that enthusiasm, that passion for, you know, I love computers.
Right.
I love modems. I love tires. I love cars.
Right.
Whatever it is that you relate to, because here's something very fascinating in a study. Most success has nothing to do with technical ability and almost all to do with the ability to deal with other humans. It's all people skills.
Oh, yes. So
in fact,
yes.
The research was 97% people skills, 3% technical ability. So, and if you have if you are an average intelligent person and you decide, and here's how experts are formed. They simply spend time and energy on a subject for over a period of time. So I always tell people, if you really want to know something, spend 30 minutes or an hour a day, and in a year, you're an expert.
You know, what you just said, I had never thought about this the way that you described it. But this well, find something that you're intensely curious about, that you find kind of fascinating, and go sell it, right?
Absolutely.
And you know, that's completely exactly what worked for me, and what I was curious about was bleeding edge stuff, which is very hard to sell. But when
well, let me correct you here. It was probably hard to sell for other people, but not hard for you because you liked it.
Well, you know, there was liking it was half of it. And I would go do, in technology, we call it missionary work, you know. I've got this new thing, it's just the latest, greatest, and everybody's like, I'm going to wait about 2 years until we can see that, you know.
The bugs are out.
Right.
I say that.
I went out with lots of enthusiasm. This is before I started to get smart about sales. And it was all driven by enthusiasm, missionary work. And I made no money. The key was learning the marketing component and how sales really works, and you know, the Dan Kennedy stuff. And when I got that right, which was mentoring from experts essentially, when I got that right, it put me in the top 10% of everybody that was trying to do this, and I had no problem making a living while others were struggling. But again, that was a combination of two things, not just one. That made, and then all of a sudden, I'm making good money when all these other people are starving. And so, you went out and you started doing sales training, and you found some areas where your passion and their need sparked a fire.
Absolutely, and the other thing that it's very, very important to understand, because we're all in sales, I don't care what your job title is,
absolutely.
You are in sales. You're selling your personality, you're selling your experience, you're selling your knowledge, you're selling every moment of your life.
Right.
And anybody who works in a job who doesn't get that will always, you know, not, they'll be in the lower echelons. But one of the things that we have to do in sales is that we always have to be open to change, because the ability to change and flow and take your talents and move them into other directions. Because a lot of people get so, they think, oh, I've got my gig.
Yeah.
And the truth is, technology changes, you know, constantly. The way we do business changes, society changes, the mentality of people changes, the money flow, the economy changes. Everything is in change. And if you're not willing to be flexible and look at the landscape of your life with the thought, I am going to flow with the change, I am not going to resist it, I'm going to capitalize on it, and I am always going to be in the top 10% of my profession.
Yeah.
Because you asked me earlier, how did I market myself? And I said, I really don't have to market myself. Word of mouth carries me because people remember me. And you see, being a little outrageous, that, you know, it makes you memorable. And outrageous can be that you're so good at what you do, or you're brilliant, or that you have this great, you know, personality. Or, I mean, outrageous really means outstanding. But you just have to be memorable so that people, and you ask for business. You always ask for business. By the way, this is what I'm doing. Do you know somebody else who could, this would benefit? Not who I can sell, who this information would benefit. See, if you're always benefiting people, people remember you. So my life is good in the sense of the phone rings on a regular basis of, can we hire you? And you, gosh, we heard you 10 years ago and such, and you were great. We remembered you. Mm. You know, when you think about how many seminars you go to in your life, and how many people that you can say their names after the seminar. And I always made a point that people would always remember my name.
Hmm. That's good.
So that and salespeople need to do that.
Well, that's great. This is a great point to say, Lee, tell us what you do, what you sell, what you have books and tapes and you speak and all. I mean, tell us about Lee.
Well,
and related to this topic in particular, I mean, tell us what you have. That you've got the book, obviously.
Yes, I have a book that you can get in your bookstores, or you can go to my website to get all the information about me, which is obviously www.miltier.com, and that's M-I-L-T-E-E-R. Or you can call our office for a catalog of my products, and that would be in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Lee Miltier, Inc., and that's 757-460-1818. Or you can email me, and that's at lee@miltier.com. And I have audio cassette tapes, CDs on leadership skills, dealing with change, upward mobility, self-esteem materials. I have a great set of tapes on creating habits that, you know, create wealth in your life by the habits that you have. So I have lots of videos and lots of audio tapes, and I do executive coaching where people can call and, you know, buy my time, where I sit and, you know, they tell me their problems or what they need, and I can use my experience and my intuition and help them achieve the goals that they want. I can only take so many clients, so the audio and video materials have been very powerful. Nightingale Conan has carried them, CyberVision, Career Track. I toured with Dr. Norman Vincent Peale and Zig Ziglar and on the Peter Lowe events, and, you know, lots of huge seminars for all these years. So the one thing that I try to do in my materials is make sure that when people invest in them, that what they get out of them is that they know in their heart that they can, I try to help people find themselves and then take those talents and turn it into prosperity. And prosperity isn't just money. Yeah. It is a good family life, happiness, good health, an enjoyment of life. Because money is very important, but it is certainly not everything. And if you just live for the buck, you're not going to be a happy person. So that's miltier.com. Come
right.
See me.
Well, I'll just add as a parenthetical, I remember, this is a tape from a very, it's a long time ago, but you were talking at a seminar, and you were talking about your return rates on your products.
I have the lowest return rate.
They were like...
I have like a less than 1% return rate.
I mean, just almost, you know, parts per million.
And the truth is, which fascinates me, is 98% of my returns, they have never cracked cellophane. Which means,
there you go.
See, they returned it without hearing it.
Right.
So that always makes me feel better. But now I have like, right. But if you do buy something, I'm happy to return your money if you're
well,
not happy.
Sure, but I mean, it's telling that people are getting real insight, not just some rah-rah session, and it's helping them.
And the wild thing is, my first tapes were done in 1985, and believe it or not, I get massive speaking engagements from people who bought tapes back from 1985.
Wow.
They still have those tapes, and they ask, you know, can I buy a new set? I wore them out.
Yeah, and you still have them?
I still have them.
What tape set is that?
It's called Reinventing Your Life, Success Self-Programming.
Oh, wow, well said. That's not too far from, you know.
Yeah, it talks about programming yourself for success using your own hardwired abilities.
Vintage Lee Miltier.
Vintage Lee Miltier. We actually re-recorded it and updated for it, but we took the same basic script and the same concepts and just got rid of some of my southern accent.
Well, I like southern. My mom's from Virginia too, so.
Oh, good.
Well, Lee, it was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure.
And thank you very much.
Thank you, Perry.